If you haven't already turned there yet, turn to Luke chapter 12. And man, like I said this morning, I got up and I felt that cool wind, and I was reminded of how good it felt when we were in Boston back in April. And we didn't really know anything about that city. We didn't know where we were going when we walked down a street. So Marty said, maybe you should ask. You know, and that's what a good wife does to a husband, because a husband is not going to do that in and of himself. He's just going to try to figure it out. But I took her advice, because we had two of our kids with us, and I was like, well, I'm not just protecting me and my wife, I'm protecting my kids too. So I went to the hotel desk, and there was a man standing there, and he was very, very nice. And I said, sir, I said, you know, my wife and kids, we're here. I'm running the marathon for St. Jude. I've never been here before. I don't know anything about this city. I really don't know how to get around. And so he gave me some warnings. That's how he started. He said, well, let me warn you. He said, there are some places you don't want to go with your wife and kids. And I was like, okay, show me those places. And so he pulls out this map and he says, you know, don't go down this street by yourself, and don't go over here. That's not really a good place to be. But he also said, man, we got a great city, right? We got a good city. There's a lot of cool things to do. There's a lot of good places to go. And so he gave me some good tips and some good pointers. And so we got out on the street and we're walking, and, you know, we've been to some big cities before, New York and D.C. and places like that. And so we come up to this stop sign, and Katie Beth pushes the button, and out of nowhere it says, wait. I saw you. Katie was ready to say it, wait. And so she thought that was pretty cool, so she just kept punching it. And it kept going, wait, wait, wait. And I'm like, Katie, it's okay, baby. She just thought it was cool to hear the sign say it. It's like Siri on the Apple thing, right? And so anyway, the sign said, wait, wait, wait. And she just kept doing it. And I said, you know, it's just warning us that people here don't care about us, and they will run over us. And so we need to look in every direction. And so we just thought that was pretty cool, you know, that wait sign. And what I found out was that we were given some warnings, and we were given some good encouragement. And so when I looked at Luke chapter 12, I was reminded of those warnings and those encouraging things that I was told way back in April in the city of Boston. You see, in Luke chapter 12, Jesus gives his disciples a warning. It's almost a wait, right? Look out. But he also gives them an encouragement. And that's what we're going to see. We're going to see some warnings, and we're going to see some encouragement. Now, listen to me. When Jesus speaks, you better listen. Amen? And whether it's a warning or whether it's an encouragement, it is good for you. And that's what I want us to see today, because, you know, what we're about to get into is what many theologians call the hard sayings of Jesus. He's fixing to say some things to his disciples and to his followers that are very hard. They're very difficult. They're difficult to hear. They're difficult to understand. But Jesus is going to give them some good warnings and some good encouragement. And I love what the old Scottish theologian William Barclay once said this: it is easy to laugh at men's ideals. It is easy to pour cold water on their enthusiasm. And listen to what he says: it is easy to discourage others, but the world is full of discouragers. He goes on and he says, we have a Christian duty to encourage one another, to warn one another. And many a time a word of praise or thanks or appreciation or cheer or warning has kept a person on his or her feet. And then he finishes with this. He said, blessed is the one who encourages others. And I believe that's what we're going to see from Jesus today in the scripture. Jesus realized that the warning he would give his disciples, that the warning he would give his friends, would cause them to worry, to doubt, maybe even to panic or to be fearful. And so what he did was he followed up his warnings with encouraging words, with great encouragement. And that's what I want you to see today as we open up God's word. So in Luke chapter 12, let's look at the first three verses. The first three verses. The Bible says, meanwhile, when a crowd of many thousands had gathered, so that they were trampling one another, Jesus began to speak first to his disciples, saying, be on your guard. It's like that sign that Katie Beth kept punching. Wait, wait. Before you move any further, you better watch out. So Jesus says, be on your guard against the yeast of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. We touched on that topic a little bit last week. We're going to hit it again today. There is nothing concealed that will be disclosed or hidden that will not be made known. What you have said in the dark will be heard in the daylight. And what you have whispered in the ear in the inner rooms will be proclaimed from the roofs. And so Jesus gives a warning to his disciples. That's who he's speaking to first. He gives a warning to his disciples, and the warning was, watch out for the yeast of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. Now you understand, most of you understand what yeast is. Yeast is that little element that works very powerfully in something that's called bread, right? And we see that in the Old Testament. We see unleavened bread and we see leavened bread. Well, that leaven is, he's talking about the yeast. And yeast is something that is very small and it can't be seen when you have the bread in your hands, but it is very powerful. And it changes, right? It changes the shape and it changes the volume of the bread as it spreads through it. And that is how hypocrisy worked. Jesus was warning the disciples that the Pharisees are hypocritical. They are hypocrites. They are playing. They're actors playing a game. They are faking it, basically. Hypocrisy, right? It's not just saying one thing while doing another. It's willfully and intentionally doing it. Somebody asked me this one time. They said, do you think the church is full of hypocrites? No, I don't. I think the church is full of sinners. And there might be some hypocrites as well. But I don't think the church is full of hypocrites. You want to know why? Because hypocrites are not repentant. Hypocrites are not repentant. They just keep on faking and they keep on faking and they keep on faking, trying to please man rather than please God. And so the church is full of sinners. Are there some hypocrites in there? Yeah, I'm sure there are. But just a little bit of hypocrisy is too much. Amen? Just a little bit of hypocrisy is too much. And that's what Jesus was warning his disciples about. And then he follows it up. He gives his disciples some great encouragement. And here's that encouragement. What the Pharisees have tried to hide will be exposed. What they have tried to hide will be exposed. Their motives, their secret words, their schemes, the things that they have whispered in privacy will be shouted out from the roofs. It will be revealed. And here's what Jesus is teaching his disciples, and he's actually giving this to encourage them. Nothing is hidden from God. Nothing is hidden from God. And what he's encouraging his disciples is that you are seeking truth and you are walking in truth. You don't need to be afraid. You don't need to be afraid. And that's what he's telling his disciples. And I believe that's what he's telling us today. And so then he goes on and he continues by talking to his friends. And listen to what he says. He says, I tell you, my friends, do not be afraid of those who kill the body and after that can do no more. But I will show you whom you should fear. Fear him who, after your body has been killed, has the authority to throw you into hell. Yes, I tell you, fear him. Are not five sparrows sold for 2 pennies? Yet not one of them is forgotten by God. Indeed, the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not be afraid. Do you see that? He keeps telling them, don't fear. Don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. I tell you, whoever publicly acknowledges me before others, the Son of Man will also acknowledge before the angels of God. But whoever disowns me before others will be disowned before the angels of God. And everyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man will be forgiven. But anyone who blasphemes against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven. When you are brought before the synagogues, rulers, and authorities, do not worry about how you will defend yourselves or what you will say, for the Holy Spirit will teach you at that time what you should say. And so again, we see, right, Jesus is going to give a warning and he's going to give encouragement. And so in this passage, Jesus gives a warning to his friends. And here is the warning. Do not fear man, but rather fear God. Do not fear man, but rather fear God. I don't know how many of you listen to the radio. You know, you listen to 88.7 The Cross, but I know for a long time there when I was listening to The Cross on the radio station, they would always come on and it would say, fear God, not man. Like it was just a little reminder. And I used to love hearing that reminder. You want to know why? Because I need to live by that reminder. So many times we fear what man can do to us. We fear what man says about us. And we show absolutely no fear to the God who created us, to the God who sustains us, to the God who empowers us. Listen, Jesus is very clear. All that man can do is kill the body. That's it. Now we go, wait a minute, isn't that enough? I'm going to tell you something. You were created with eternity in mind. Eternity. You weren't created simply for earth. You were created for eternity. And so there is more than the body. There is. And all that man can do is kill the body. But God, and Jesus makes this very clear, God is the only one who has the authority to throw anyone into hell. That word fear, right? When Jesus says, don't fear man, but fear God, that word fear, it can absolutely mean reverence. We should be reverent before God. There should be a fear there that we reverently approach God. It can mean awe. We should be awe-filled in the presence of God. But I think so many times we forget that we should come to God trembling as well. Trembling. I remember there were times when I had to go talk to my daddy about something I said or did at school. Okay? Now here's the thing. I knew my daddy loved me. I knew that. My daddy provided for me. My daddy protected me. But there were times when I had to go tell my daddy something that was kind of hard. And you know what? Even though I knew my daddy loved me, and I knew my daddy was going to protect me and take care of me, I also knew that there were times when my daddy was going to discipline me. And it wasn't going to feel good. Okay? So there were many, many times when I went to my daddy trembling because I knew the power and the authority that my daddy had over me. And I think that's what we're missing. I think that's what we're missing in our churches today is that trembling fear, right? I think that's what we're missing in our homes today is that trembling fear before God, the one who has the authority and the power over all things. Listen, God is righteous. God is holy and God is just. That's why he is God. And this is a fear that should put us on our faces before God. We should come to him trembling at his majesty, at his power, at his authority. Absolutely, he loves us. But listen to me. He is holy and just, and we are sinners. We are filthy with sin. And so we ought to come to him trembling at his majesty. And that's what Jesus is talking about. He says, hey, you tremble at the thought of what a man can do to you, what an earthly power can do to you. You should only tremble at the thought of what God can do to you. And I think we need to wake up to that. And so Jesus follows that very hard statement, that very difficult statement, with some great encouragement. I love this. Jesus gives his friends this great encouragement. You want to know what it is? You are highly valued by God. You are highly valued by God. Even though God is holy, even though God is righteous, even though God is just and you are not, even though you are a sinner, God still values you. God still chases after you. God still wants to be with you. He wants you to be in his presence. He wants you to be in a relationship with him. One thing we see in the scriptures is that God is omniscient. What does that mean? Well, that means he is all-knowing. Isn't that scary? If it's not, then you need to wake up. He is omniscient. He is all-knowing. The things that you can hide from your spouse, the things you can hide from people you love, the things you think you can hide from the church, you can't hide from God. He knows it. He knows why you're serving on a ministry team. He knows why you put on pretty clothes and sat in the pew this morning. He knows. I don't. And here's the thing. Why would you care what I think? What can I do to you as a man? God is omniscient. That ought to bring trembling right there. Here's the thing. And I love how Pastor R.C. Sproul puts it, so I'm gonna quote him today. Pastor R.C. Sproul says, even though God knows everything about us, Jesus tells us, do not fear. As believers, we are God's children. And God places high value upon us that is incalculable. Right? High value on us that is incalculable. You know what? So many times what we struggle with in this life is we struggle with the weight of our sin. And we struggle with the consequences of our sin. And what we do is we wallow in it sometimes. We wallow in the guilt and we wallow in the struggle. And that's exactly what Satan wants us to do. Satan wants us to stay guilty. Satan wants us to stay in that place, right? Because the Holy Spirit convicts us of that sin, right? Yes, there is a guilt there. The Holy Spirit says, yeah, you did this. And yeah, it don't line up with God's word. You have broken God's commandment. But the Holy Spirit says, turn from it. And turn to your God who loves you and has a high value on you. Jesus said, look at the sparrows. Don't you love that? Look at the sparrows. They're sold for 2 copper coins, right? And not one of them hits the ground without God knowing it. If he cares for a sparrow who is not created in his image, how much more is he going to care for you who is created in his image? Satan is the one that brings that thought in our minds. Does God care about me? Satan's the one that brings that thought, and he wants you to stay in that thought, and he wants you to believe that God doesn't care about you, that the suffering continues because God doesn't care, that the pain continues because God doesn't care, that the guilt stays on you because God doesn't care. Now listen to me, God does care. He cares enough that he would send his one and only son, Jesus Christ, to live the perfect life that you and I couldn't live and to die sacrificially on the cross and pay for the debt that you and I owed. God does care. Brother Jess led us in a song, God is faithful, amen? He is faithful. Paul says when we are faithless, God remains faithful because he cannot disown himself. Jesus goes on and he gives them another warning, and it's about blasphemy. He warns them against blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. Now, people ask me all the time, Brother Jeff, what's the unpardonable sin? What's the unforgivable sin in the Bible? Well, here it is. Jesus tells them that words spoken against him as the Son of God could be forgiven. But he says the blasphemy against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven. And that blasphemy is described by Dr. David Jeremiah in his commentary as this. It is the utter rejection, the willful and utter rejection of Jesus Christ and the willful and utter resistance shutting down of the Holy Spirit. So the blaspheme of the Holy Spirit, to blaspheme the Holy Spirit means I don't want to hear you no more. I reject what you're saying to me. That's what the blaspheme of the Holy Spirit is. This is a deliberate and willful action. And as Dr. Tony Evans says, to reject the Holy Spirit's testimony of Jesus Christ is to reject the only means God has provided for your salvation. That's what the Bible says. That's what God says right here. That's what Jesus says, is that you can say what you want to about me in this life that I am living as the Son, But if you blaspheme against the Holy Spirit, if you shut the Holy Spirit down and you turn away from the Holy Spirit, you will not be forgiven. And what that means is if you don't trust in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you will pay for the price of your sin. And that price is God's full wrath. There is a heaven and there is a hell. And those who trust in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior will spend eternity in heaven with God because he paid the price. He was your substitute. He was my substitute. But if you reject Jesus Christ and you utterly and willfully reject the Holy Spirit, then you are saying no to God and you are saying no to the only means of salvation. It ain't how much I go to church. It ain't how much I tithe. It ain't making sure my name's on some piece of paper at some church body. It's not how many good things I do. I don't care what the world tells you. You better pay attention to what God tells you. That's the problem, see. We would rather care about a man telling us something or about a group telling us something rather than the Holy Spirit of God telling us something. See how all of this ties together? And so Jesus, he warns them about the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit, but he follows up his warning with a great encouragement. And I love this. Jesus encourages them with the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. See, for the believers, the Holy Spirit indwells us. It is the presence of God, not just with us, but in us. Amen? Isn't that awesome? That's why Paul says later in the New Testament that you are the temple of God. That your body is the temple of God. God indwells you. He doesn't just live with you. He lives in you. He walks with you daily. And so Jesus follows it up with this incredible encouragement. He says, the Holy Spirit will teach you. We are empowered. We are enabled to be witnesses for Jesus. Acts chapter 1. Witnesses for Jesus wherever we go. We are empowered and enabled to be ambassadors of God, right? Given the ministry of reconciliation, 2 Corinthians. We have a message, and that message is God loves you even though you're a sinner. God made a way for you to be right with him, and that way is Jesus Christ. God wants to be reconciled with you. He wants you to be made right with him. And you can through repentance of your sin and faith in Jesus Christ. And if anyone tells you differently, they're lying. They're lying. It's not Jesus plus this. It's Jesus. And that's it. And I do not apologize. And I do not change my statement. It's not Jesus plus this. It's Jesus. That's it. That's the only way to be reconciled with God. If somebody tells you something else, they're lying. They're lying. Jesus told his followers that when, notice that when you stand in the synagogues, when you stand before the rulers and authorities, he didn't say if. He said when you do, God will be with you. Don't you love that? God will be with you. He will not abandon you. The Holy Spirit will be with you, and the Holy Spirit will teach you and give you the words to speak at that time. What a powerful passage of Scripture. What great warnings. What great encouragement. You see, as Christ followers, we have the Word of God for us, and we have the Word of God in us, and we can hear, and we can know the warnings of Jesus, and we can live accordingly, right? I know it was playful for Katie and Jonah and me, and I even fell into the trap. Man, I'd get up there and start pushing that button. Wait, right? Sometimes that's what we do. We play with the warnings, don't we? This ain't something to play with. See, Jesus is more important than that sign on the street in Boston. And when Jesus says, wait, when Jesus says, watch out, when Jesus says, be aware, you better listen, because that means there's a trap waiting for you. And that's a trap that's been set by the enemy. And the enemy is the devil. And the devil will use people. He'll use people. But as Christ followers, we can know the warnings. We can hear the warnings and we can live accordingly. We can hear and we can know the encouragement of Jesus and we can walk wisely. That's why I say it's so important to know who you are, whose you are, and why you are. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. Isaiah 43, right? You should know that you belong to God, that he created you, that he loves you, that he's placed a high value on you, and that your life is more than just about you. It's about him. And you were created to give him glory and give him praise. And you can't do that living like the world. You can't do that listening to the world. You can only do that listening to Jesus. You can only do that looking and living and loving like Jesus. See, here's what I believe. Jesus does not want us to live this life in this world worriedly. He does not want us living this life fearful. Nor does he want us walking in this life and walking in this world blindly. He gives us truth. You want to know why? You want to know why Jesus gives us the truth? Because he is the truth. He is the truth. Not your mama, not your daddy, not some good preacher that you listen to or whoever. He is the truth. And if I give you any truth, it's only Jesus. I can stand up here and tell you my opinion all day long, but my opinion's worth about the same amount as your opinion. Nothing. But man, the truth will set you free. Jesus will set you free. He gives us warnings so that we don't have to live in fear of man. He gives us warnings so that we don't have to live this life worriedly. He encourages us so that we can have light. And that light shines in the darkness. And we can see and we can know. And not only that, we can share. Right? Isn't that why Jesus said, let your light shine before men so that they can see your good works that do what? Glorify God. Glorify God. So here's what I want you to do after this passage of scripture today. I want you to trust Jesus. Trust Jesus. Don't trust me. I'll let you down. Hey, listen, I'm faithless many times. But God is faithful. Jesus is faithful. Don't trust me. Trust Jesus today. Don't put your trust in your job because guess what? You can lose it like that. Don't put your trust in your health, because guess what? You can lose it just like that. I have a friend through the St. Jude Network that was training really hard to run the Boston Marathon with us as a team, and she got injured. She got injured so badly that she couldn't run the marathon. All that training, all that work, right, to get to that spot, and guess what? Her body just let her down. Isn't it funny how much trust we put into things in our life? I mean, I've said this before. You trusted that pew. Y'all better be careful on these first two or three right here, by the way. I don't know if y'all have noticed the way I sit down, but I sit down and kind of check. Because these things get loose sometimes. And sometimes them little legs, now y'all are going, wait a minute. And you're sitting just a little bit lighter on that pew, aren't you? But isn't it crazy how, did you even look to see if there were legs on that pew when you walked in? You just believed they were there. Man, what if you believed in God like that? What if I believed in God like that? That I didn't have to check underneath me to make sure I was going to be all right. Got in that car, turned that key, you just believed it was going to crank. Now, some of you may not have had a cranked car this morning. I apologize for that. But most of you, you got in the car, you put your key in, and what did you believe? That car was going to crank. And here's another thing you believe. You believe that the people on the road weren't looking at their phones and weren't going to run over you. You put more faith in people that are distracted and don't know how to drive because we live in Louisiana. We put more faith in them than we do God. Questioning God, why? Poor me. Oh, I ain't going to make it. Yet we get up every morning and put our faith in stuff that man has given us. And don't blink. Trust in Jesus. He is the only one who is faithful. And finally, live in the light of Jesus. Live in the light of Jesus and then shine his light in your world. See, I love that. I love that in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. I quote it all the time because it's just a great passage of Scripture. But he says, you're a royal priesthood. You're a holy nation. You're chosen. You're my special possession. That's what God says, right? Why? So that you may declare the praises of me. That's what God says. So you can declare my praises. And here's what he says. You can declare my praises because I called you out of darkness and into wonderful light. Some versions say marvelous light. Right? That's who we're supposed to be as Christ followers. It's never supposed to be dark in our life. We're supposed to be lighting it up, right? We don't hide our light under a bushel. We let that baby shine. We need to sing more VBS songs, don't we? Right? Those are some great reminders. We're like, man, those kids, I love that for those kids. But listen to me, we're just a bunch of kids too. And we struggle just as bad as they do. Some of us still drinking milk when we should be chewing meat. And then we wonder why we're struggling in our relationship with God. Because we're not in the Word and the Word's not in us. It's like we got some get out of hell free card in our back pocket. Oh, I'm good. I go to church. I joined. I got baptized in that Start water. Okay. It ain't like we got purified water up here. You know what I'm saying? Unless I don't know something from building ground, they may put a purifier in there, but it's still Start water. Listen to me. It's about Jesus. It's about who Jesus is to you. And it's about walking with Jesus every day. It's about trusting him. And it's about letting him change you from the inside out. I want to tell you, when you're so in love with Jesus and you realize who you are and whose you are and why you are, you ain't got to worry about that light switch. It's going to stay on. It's when you take your eyes off of Jesus. It's when you forget who you are, whose you are, and why you are, that light starts to flicker a bit. Trust in Jesus. Live in Jesus. And let that light shine. Mamas and daddies in your house. School teachers in that classroom, right? Bankers in that office. Farmers in that field. Whoever you are, wherever you are, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus is the difference maker. For here and forever. No one else. Nothing else. He is the light of the world. And nothing will be hidden from his light. Amen.